4CA is real music, real opinions. 1300 872 911. John McKenzie, 4CA.
I'm just harking back to something that took my own in the Courier Mail today, and it's something we've been talking about for a long time, this explosion in crime up here. I mean, Queensland's the crime capital, even though we're only 5 million in population or whatever it is, crime capital of Australia. Per capita, vastly worse than New South Wales. And when you talk about Queensland being the crime capital state, the crime capital within this state is far north Queensland and Townsville and Cairns. The crime capital, which makes us fundamentally the crime capital of the whole country here. And we scream from the rooftops, we're desperate for some sort of relief. And the call goes unanswered time and time and time again. Now you go to the Courier Mail, page 13, the headline reads, Katter takes rage to poll. Party may direct preferences away from government over youth crime inaction. Katter's Australian Party is threatening to punish Premier Stephen Miles by breaking tradition and directing its preferences against the government at the October election. In what could be a significant blow to Labor's efforts in regional Queensland, a fed-up Robbie Katter revealed his party was considering breaking neutrality amid fury over the pace of trialling on-country programs for juvenile First Nation offenders. Mr. Miles in February revealed the government would agree to the Katter's Australian Party's request for the trial for at-risk youth. But Mr. Katter argues the government has gone cold on the idea some 5 months later. I'll cut to the chase here. While unlikely to change the outcome of the October election, Robbie Katter revealed failings on crime meant his party was considering urging its supports to preference a political party. Now, it's interesting because Robbie was on this program saying, oh, he's cutting through. We're having discussions now. And it looks like the Labor government is actually listening to what we're recommending and making encouraging sounds about it. Now, what that whole picture was, putting distance, if you like, between predators and their prey, as Marty Bella calls it. And there was any number of people saying, well, it makes common sense. Juvenile justice systems are train smash, so let's get them out there, give them some skills, because there'll be people to teach them skills, whatever they might be. But the fact of the matter is they won't be getting out on the weekend, coming back here and once again laying waste to the people of Cairns or Townsville, for that matter, or Mareeba, with their stolen car explosion. Now, whatever it is, you'd think about it. If we continue down the road we've been pursuing for years, we've been talking about right back to 2002 this morning, we're going to enjoy no change whatsoever to the nightmare. They say, oh, but there's less cars being stolen. It's still a huge number of stolen cars. You hear on this show every morning there's stolen cars. Weekends there's 5 to 10 stolen. So if we do nothing, we're going to keep reaping the same sort of rewards, which is constant fear of crime. Now, I've just put a call through to Nick Demetto. He's the state member for the seat of Hinchinbrook for KAP, and he's happy to talk about this particular matter. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, John, and good morning, listeners.
Interesting, Nick. We got those expressions of enthusiasm, well, a hint of enthusiasm from the Labor government about your policy, which your party's been selling for some time with a considerable amount of support here in regional areas where we're overwhelmed by crime. So sadly, though, the government's early enthusiasm seems to have waned.
John, Katter's Australian Party's relocation sentencing policy was all about sending youth offenders bush, getting them out of the metropolitan areas where they're committing their crimes, taking them away from places like Cleveland Bay Detention Centre in Townsville, which is not working. 95% of those kids that attend Cleveland Bay Detention Centre are reoffending within the first 12 months, and I'd say most of them are reoffending on the next weekend they're out. We want to couple our policy with 12 months mandatory sentencing so we can make sure we're putting intensive time into these kids on a remote location to try and turn their lives around. But like you said earlier, putting an air gap between them and the victims so they're not attacking on a nightly basis the weekend that they get out. Now the Labor Party came out with a very similar policy, which is why we were quietly cautious because you never know what the Labor Party is going to do after they say something, whether they're going to do it or not. But they came out and said they're going to do expressions of interest for their intensive on-country program. That happened in March, and it's closed. It's been nearly closed now for 3 months. And the fact is, we've heard nothing. There's no line item in the budget. Di Farmer's gone cold on it. The Premier's gone silent. And we're starting to ask the question here. Was this just a political ploy to try and pull the wool over North Queenslanders' eyes when they're hurting most? Mm. Like you said, we're back up to 5 to 10 vehicles a night being stolen in Cairns and Townsville. And it's spiked over the school holidays.
Mm. Do you know what's really frustrating, and I would imagine particularly for the police who come onto this program and I say, how are we going this weekend? And the police officer will have to say, look, I'm sorry to say it, but please be careful of your cars this weekend and your homes and yourselves, because we understand there's a significant release of these young prisoners from Cleveland. I mean to say, this is a system that even though they know they're going to go straight out, as you just pointed out, straight out the door and straight around the corner into another stolen car or whatever, the system still allows it to happen. And puts warnings out instead of intervening in the meantime, finding a better way to keep the distance between the predators and their prey. They just let it happen, and they think, "Oh well, if we get the warning out there to people that they're all the criminal kids are getting out this weekend, we might save a few people from their stolen cars or whatever." It's obscene that they just allow it to go on and on indefinitely without any worthwhile intervention.
It must be beating every officer down that's out there every day trying to turn this around, knowing that the legislation doesn't back them up.
Yes.
Knowing that they're playing this expensive, very expensive, especially when you've got a helicopter in the air chasing these children now. The hourly rate must be astronomical, but it's an expensive game of cat and mouse, and they know as soon as they catch them. There's a good chance within the next 48 hours they're going to be back out on those streets. Mm. We need to remove detention as a last resort from the legislation. Magistrates have to cite this while they're writing out the sentencing for these kids. And if they haven't put them through every single program available to them, well, guess what? They can't lock them up. So some of these kids that are ending up at Cleveland Bay Detention Centre, they may have stole 10 to 15 cars before they even see the inside of a cell.
Yes.
This is wrong.
Exactly.
This is wrong, John.
Exactly. Don't go away. I'll put this one to you. I talk with Ken Harley from time to time. Ken is the most brilliant contributor to this program. He's got the sharpest mind, but he'll cover various things, like, for example, the nightmare at the Coranda Bridge and the Coranda Range and access to the Tablelands. But he also steps in when it comes to juvenile crime. Now, he's got a slightly different version. He's saying, yes, we've got to get him out of, I think, for example, Edmonton, building that centre there. He's saying, though, Tablelands is a good option because somewhere near Lotus Glen, for example, there's the medical facilities, etc. And if there are emergencies, there's significantly advanced medical attention available fairly close, whether it would be Mareeba or Lotus Glen or whether into Cairns. Would that strengthen an argument if indeed you can't get the remote version, which is a much further distance west, if you had something like on the Tablelands rather than building the centre in Edmonton?
You know, I think making sure, like I said earlier, there's that air gap between the perpetrators and the victims, making sure there's an opportunity to have these kids engaged on a long-term basis to try and turn them around, making sure that there's a mandatory sentence component attached to it. Of course, to align with our policy, you want to see the remoteness within the program. But the fact is, we need to do something different. Do I support the idea of having up the Tablelands? I think there would have to be a fair chunk of consultation that would need to go through before anyone could put their name to that, especially talking to the people who live up there. You got to remember, they're the people who matter most.
Yeah.
You can't take these kids away from somewhere where they're causing havoc and put them close to where they could potentially find new victims. So making sure you got that right first. But the Tablelands might not be the worst idea.
You would remember the government when they closed down Lincoln Springs. It was starting to get some traction, starting to get some good results. They say, oh, no, this is too expensive. Oh, we can't waste all this money. I mean, seriously, what about the expense of the victims, the surging numbers of victims? What about our expense? But anyway, they said, oh, no, it's too expensive for the government to run Lincoln Springs. We're going to build something much more successful. And they didn't lay a brick, as far as I heard.
No, and they're actually looking to build a new detention centre down near Waco at the moment, and I believe it's sitting around the $600 million mark. This is over half a billion dollar investment. This is ludicrous. And no one knew people that worked up at up at Lincoln Springs, and they said, you know, we'll be fair on our commentary here. It was a rushed policy. We were sent up there. We didn't have all the tools to do what we needed. After 12 months, we started to figure out what we were supposed to be doing with these kids. Next 12 months, it started working. Snap election, not a Labor policy, out the door.
Yeah.
And that's the problem we're seeing at the moment in policy from both sides. Mm. If it's not their idea, it's not a great idea. Mm. Then there does need to be some bipartisanship on a solution, but it needs to be a little bit tougher than where we're sitting at the moment, because these kids are laughing at us, John. They're running rings around the police, exactly. And they're making a mockery of this youth justice system.
Exactly. Good on you, Nick. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, John.
It's Nick DiMeadow, State Member for the seat of Hinchinbrook for Cutters Australian Party, KAP.